allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Next item on the agenda is our director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a couple of reports. SUP 1552 was approved by the board supervisors. And also, we have two variances for setbacks for BZA 1501 and BZA 1502. The data in LLC and everything that is true for the three parking areas.
Thank you. If I have any questions. Next order of business is our first of two public comment sections. We have public comment now, limited to 3 minutes per person. If you want to speak on anything other than the items that are on the public hearing, we will let you speak during the public hearing for those matters. But this is for any other matters in the county that you'd like to address. Anyone wishing to come forward, come to the microphone, state your name and address, please. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll move on to the next item of business. It's the approval of minutes from the April 22nd meeting.
This is the zoning map. You see the subject property is shown in gray here, and then the Palatine Community Church is on the property in the front there, frontal 15. Remains Zone B1. This aerial photograph in the 100 by 200 building is here on the 4.81 acre portion of the property. Photographs were commissioned. This is the open part of the building that was referred to earlier. It will be enclosed in outside view. And this is the southern portion of the building that's currently closed. More than plenty of existing parking to sustain this operation. Again, this is a special use permit request to operate an auction house in the I-1 zoning district. Activity will take place inside the building. Hours of operation proposed to be Monday through Friday, 9 to 6 for the office portion of the business, and the auction will be Saturday, 10 a.m. through midnight. commission may want to consider additional traffic entering edge of the property. UDOT stated that a commercial entrance permit is required. And with that, suggested motion is before you, and the applicant is here this evening if you have questions of the applicant.
Do you have a question for you? I have a question. So it says there that all the auction would be inside the enclosed building. In the actual original application, and where it says necessity of use, it says an operated auction house on premises will schedule auctions to be held in the building and on premises.
It's my understanding he plans to have all auction activities within the building. I'll let Mr. Flick clarify his intention on that.
Okay. The applicant back to come forward this time.
Good evening. I'm John Flick, the Flick Master person. All the auction activity will happen inside the building. When we fill out the application, we refer to parking and activities like that. You can address and address.
Thank you.
The picture that you showed us available parking, you mentioned there was adequate parking. That's on the other parcel.
We've been discussing with the church because our hours of operation are not going to be theirs, that they have no problem with us using that parking. There's additional gravel lot behind the building as well.
Yeah, I was there this afternoon. It's a lot of parking here behind the building. You need.
Yes.
You have a
question?
Thank you. We'll be opening the public hearing at this time. Anyone in the public want to come forward and speak about this property? Please come forward to the microphone and state your name and address, please. Seeing no one coming forward, it'll be time for discussion of the Planning Commission on this project.
I was there this afternoon. I remember the name of the property. I think it's excellent use of the property. And if none of the neighbors object, I think it would be concerning to me.
I agree. I agree that that possibly can block the time.
I'd like to go ahead and just make a motion up there that I move that the Planning Commission approve the SU 15-02, a special use permit request to operate an auction house with respect to 4.81 acres on tax map 59, section 8, parcel 8, section to the conditions listed in the state report.
I have a motion by Mr. Johnson. A second by Mrs. Eager. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Our second public hearing tonight is SUP 1503, Anthony Smith.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the commission. This is our next SUP. It's SUP 1503. It's a special use permit request for a commercial amusement from Nick Smith. And this operates on a 2.43 acre parcel, tax map 22, section 4, parcel A. Southern Agricultural, which necessitates the special use permit for commercial amusement. He's proposing that live entertainment on the property, and it's a ticket sales event, so such use does require special permission. This is a zoning map. This is Mr. Smith's property. It's a triangular-shaped parcel here. It is, again, zoned agricultural. All surrounding properties are zoned agricultural. Aerial photograph, kind of to orient you, the firehouse, Kinsler Firehouse is here. And then his property is here. The photographs, this is his property. We see the Kinsler Firehouse in the background, kind of orient you there. location for the, I believe, for the stage area and the bonfire. This is the adjoining parcel. He has written permission from the neighbor to use this parcel for parking. So he would have signs to direct folks in and out of there, traffic control points. Be looking east. Conclusion, it is a special use permit request for commercial amusements, a ticket sales event, a live event. I want to make clarification on a couple of points. Your staff report has been limited to 2 events a year, and after speaking with Mr. Smith, he would like to go ahead and change that from 2 events to 1 event per year, not more than 1 event per year, during the months of May and August. Parking and security measures have been conditioned. Applicant has written consent from his neighbor for parking, and he is requesting hours of operation to begin at 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon until 2 a.m. Also, as an added condition, it's not in your report. There were comments from the Department of Forestry that Mr. Smith is aware of. Just not a condition, like I have staff has VDOT, meeting all VDOT conditions, standard condition. We wanted to add the DOF condition as well, just for clarity. So the commission may want to consider the additional traffic again, proposed for not more than one event per year, elevated noise levels, of course, during the live entertainment portion. With that, this suggested motion is on your screen, and Mr. Smith is here tonight to have any questions for him.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
In the package, it refers to one particular date. Then if you get it further into it, it talks about 2 events a year. Of course, that can change the point. But part of the narrative in our package talks about one event to be held June 5th through June 7th, 2015.
Right.
So this is the actual.
The actual, and again, the condition is not more than one event between the months of May and August. So the actual date, if this is approved, the actual date could vary in the future as long as it's not more than 1 event per year. But this event in 2015, if approved, began on Saturday, June 6th at 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon, and go until 2 a.m. on June 7th, 2015. So it does extend from the 6th to the 7th.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, what I think I understood Mr. Federal say was that the event is not necessarily on one day, but it's one 24-hour period.
But then, in this particular part of the narrative to a neighbor or something, it talks about one particular event, so being June 5th through June 7th. And then when we come into this, it talks about possibility of one event per year.
Right. Well, what I think I understood was that what the applicant said about the date of 2015 is consistent with that, because that's one event, and that would be the event for 2015.
Okay.
In future years, it might be some other day between May
and August. Yeah, I was just trying to find out for sure that they were talking about, well, it would just go be one event in 2015, and that would be it. I wanted to make sure that it was clarified, that everybody knew that they could do this one time.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that the record is clear what's being asked and what's being recommended.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
The applicant would like to come forward at this time.
How you doing?
Well.
So, I'm Nick Smith, or Anthony Smith, my first name. Yes, sir. Question. Oh, was that a would I like to come forward?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm forward now. anybody have any questions? I guess I'm standing here for y'all, I guess the motion towards him, yeah.
Anybody have any questions, Mr. Smith?
Has the planning board ever done a county?
Never with a special use permit, but I have done an event, very similar. It was very successful. We're just trying to cross all our lines this year and dot our I's and make sure everything is, legitimate. That way, if it ever did come about having a problem with my neighbors or anybody, you know, we could confront it beforehand, you know, before something like this. That way, it's a good way to get everybody on the legal level. Because if anybody had a problem with it, sometimes it's hard to know, you know, just myself personally. So.
Did your previous event also sign by?
Yes, sir.
And you understand what the Department of Parks is saying about the certain conditions about the fallen tower?
Yes, sir. I've got Andrew Cooling, head of he's the fire chief for Kent Store Volunteer Fire Department. They're going to be on call the whole time. They have some fellows over there. They're actually making a call on the predicaments of what that needs standards that day. So they'll actually be the one who we rely on to go for permission.
If there are certain standards, you can't have it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're planning on not burning under the conditions if it meets those conditions. And there's a lot of factors at play in there. Being news in general, what forestry regulates, and it's class 3. If it's a class 3 above, we will not burn. Meaning high winds and humidity, a lot of factors, I think, have to meet if we're going to burn. So. But that's why we picked June 6th, because usually commonly at that time of year, it should be still not too hot, and the conditions should be right. But again, for a lot of things, if it rains, we will actually cancel the event if that happens. Hopefully we won't, as long as everything is cool.
How many people do you expect?
Realistically, right now, we can only go on what we're for sure on. Last year, there was 700 folks, or we guess there was 650 around about, but this year we expect the same. Could be a little bit more, but we still had plenty of parking on the actual first set parking area, so hopefully we won't even be using the overflow parking that's mapped out on there for the ARC hall. And we actually, even if that were the case, we have another set, which I came here today with, I didn't know if anybody would worry about it, but I've even got a third overflow parking. Permission that should hold anything and everything. I think we would need to make sure traffic is secure today.
Any more questions? Thank you.
SUP 1503, special use permit request for commercial use with respect to 2.43 acres of tax map 22, section 4, parcel A, subject to the conditions listed in the staff report.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you. The next item of public hearing is ZMP 1502, Stephen L. Peters.
Sir, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This is ZMP 1502, and Mr. President, just for clarification, let's say recommend the staff report for that decision. So this is a request for rezoning of 21.5 acres, tax map 8, section 8, A14A, from A1 to B1. The total site area is 61.95 acres, and they're requesting 21.5 of that to be rezoned to B1. It's located within the Rockland Community Planning Area. And zoning map on your screen, the subject property is the intersection of 618 and 53, which is delineated here. Aerial photograph is mostly wooded, and to kind of orient you here, this is the Anthony Baptist Church. The applicant site plan shows the proposed roundabout at the entrance, main entrance, and located at the intersection of 53 and 618. Again, this shows the proposed roundabout in greater detail. This is the intersection, and according to the proposed preliminary sketch plan, the main entrance would be about here before Taurus is. Site looking west, our public hearing sign. Site looking east along 618, so going back towards the main gate of the Charlotte. This is looking down 53 towards Charlottesville. So again, this is a rezoning request for 21.5 acres of tax map 8, section A, parcel A14A. It's in the Rockman Community Planning Area. It's approved, and the site development plan will be required for any development on the site. Our comprehensive plan does consider this area to be used for further development, proximity to the corridors that are there and the high-density residential at Lake Monticello. In conclusion, the zoning request appears to meet the intention of the comprehensive plan, and that medium and small commercial businesses and some office, civic, residential uses combine and form a series of neo-traditional development that are interconnected with surrounding developments. The applicant has stated they are working on an analysis of the impacts to the existing intersections roundabout and not to be built. So that study is still in progress. Planning Commission should consider how its request does not align with the goals of the comprehensive plan. And with that, the motion is on the screen, and Mr. Shunt Engineering is here also.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask you a question? You know, I understand that the roundabout is a proposal, not.
Correct. Yes, sir, that's correct. I believe it's shown as conceptual on the sketch with the rezoning application. And I know it was a favorable approach from the TRC meeting. Mark Wood was very supportive of the idea of our own that location. I believe it fits with the U.S. Transportation study or the long-term plan. That's in the report. But there is further work to be done, so it's not.
The reason I asked that question, that's what I thought the ending was. I just want to make sure it's clear. This is not a property zone, so that roundabout is not a prerequisite to this rezoning. And you should assume that it might be built, and you know, if you're in favor, that's good. But you do not have the right to rely on its being built. So you should consider that to be merely a concept then it might be, they might be good, but if it's not, that wouldn't be a bar to be developed if you approve, if the board approves this rezoning.
Question I have in that same respect, that our work session, we'd ask the applicant to give us further information on what would happen if the roundabout was not built, about entrance and so forth like that. My other concern is at the PRC meeting, and when VDOT and people were there, there was nothing presented to the fact if this roundabout is not there. I understand from what I've been able to find out about VDOT, they don't even know when they would even have the money to build this. I have made the concern that we don't know, we don't have an idea of what would be without this roundabout.
Our latest understanding is that VDOT is in favor of that, but the roundabout, instead of a signalized signal there, they're in favor of the proposal, but I'm not sure if the details have been worked out yet. It's just the latest information is that they're pursuing a study to determine if that's going to happen or not. And I'll defer to Mr. Shimp to, if he has any updated information pursuant to that, I'll let him disclose that to the commission.
Thank you. Applicant would like to come forward, Mr. Shimp.
Yes, please. My name is Justin Shimp, engineer project. If you all would object, I have a draft copy of the proper, which addresses some of the questions that have brought up. Do you mind if I hand that out?
You can hand it out, but there's no way we can consider that proper tonight.
Nothing's in here that I think that have been discussed before. It's just simply a item that puts in writing what we've said already. That's all it is. If you want to include it later, I just wanted to give it to you.
I think it's appropriate to make that part of the record. Mr. Schiff's certainly entitled to suggest anything he might end up proposing, but you don't have the right to rely on that until it's, unless and until it's actually proposed. So I think you simply, it's not that I'm suggesting he's not in good faith and all that, he is, I'm sure, but he simply is binding on the applicant unless the formality is complete.
Maybe we should just wait till the third time for you to pass it on to the planning department and then they can decide whether we should that. My main question is, at our planning session, work session, I asked this very question, and you said you would provide this information for us before this public hearing, and I don't see that information.
No, I misunderstand. I was intentionally to provide at the public hearing. That's why I didn't have that information here to provide. So if you put it in the folder there along in the circle, I can pull up our traffic report and talk about that, what we found and what we proposed to deal with the question that we brought up.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Excuse me. Thank you. So, is there a way that this can be considered as part of our potential vote on the rezoning tonight or approval or not?
Well, I don't know what form it is. It needs to be in writing as to what is proposed by the applicant. It has to be signed by the owner.
This is strictly for the rezoning. It's not for the actual site plan or anything along those lines, right?
That's correct. But
so at that point in time, this will not during the rezoning would be accomplished.
We'd need to be sometime during the rezoning, which if you, the applicant has a right to ask you to consider without the proffers, he has a right to consider ask you to consider it with the proffers, but if that happens, it has to be done in proper form. So it's part of, it becomes part of the record. That, I don't know whether it's signed or not, but if it's not, you could always defer the item and consider it. And I think it would be more appropriate if you're going to consider the proffers that you consider the whole thing at one time. And frankly, I think for the benefit of the public, it would be helpful to have the properties, whatever they may be. So the applicant, the public is aware of what the properties are. It may be the case that properties, that there are public concerns that would be allayed by the properties.
Mr. King, could we hear them tonight, the meeting, and then the board, the applicant would have time for the board meeting to make them properly present the property?
Well, the problem is there is no property.
But, I mean, not now, but there could be before.
Well, offers wouldn't have to come through us, they could go directly to the board.
They could go directly to the board, whether the board. That would be up to the board, what the board want to do. And one thing I have seen the board do, and I think it's a reasonable thing, is the board may want to say, we'd like to know what the planning commission thinks of these. The planning commission didn't have an opportunity to see them, we're going to remand it back to the planning commission. Frankly, I think if the applicant wants you to consider, wants the county, including the board, to consider properties with the application, it would be much more efficient to have them all before you as the applicant wants to present them so that you can consider the whole project. And so the public would have an opportunity to know what's really proposed as opposed to the unproper application. I'm not telling you you have to defer it, you don't. But I don't think you have a right to consider any potential properties at this point because you're not part of the application.
Kyle, first question. Mr. Schiff, I am very concerned because of the fact that we listened to your presentation at the work session. We had questions. The questions were supposed to be answered, and I specifically asked to get that information to us about what would happen if the roundabout didn't come. Okay. And I'm very concerned that the application is not complete because of the fact that you haven't done what you said you
did. Well, I think the application is most definitely complete, and if you give me an opportunity, I'll do exactly what I said I would do. I want to say that certainly we have no objection. The planning commission wants to hear everything out and say, well, that sounds fine, but let's defer it so you can put it to us in writing. To see exactly, let's say tonight, exactly what's written here. And if that's agreeable, not a problem with us for it to be heard, and if you want to see it in writing before you make a formal motion on it, we don't have an objection to that. But I think it's frankly the easiest to explain this traffic situation sort of in person. So walk through what we did and how we answered the questions and what we found as a result of our study rather than throwing a bunch of traffic reports.
After we know what VDOT's opinion is without knowing what the real situation is. You know, we've got an opinion, and I agree with that opinion, that the roundabout would be great and so forth like that. But without the roundabout, we don't really have any information about whether they would require turn lanes or anything else.
I think you're considering potential properties without them being part of the record would be out of order.
Well, then, can I suggest we don't consider those things? I can still answer the questions. We can have our public hearing. Mm-hmm. After that time, if the commission feels that the proffers are absolutely necessary to move this forward, then it can be deferred, and we'll submit them in writing in a couple days to as well. And the next meeting, you can have them in writing and take their action.
I don't think I'm making myself clear. You don't have the right to consider a legislative act that is not before you. And that's exactly what's being suggested here, that there may be a proper is part of a legislative act. It's a condition. We refer to them as properties, but they're not really properties, they're conditions. And they are integral to the action that, you know, should be approved, the action that you approve. And it would be like saying the General Assembly said, well, we're going to amend the statute on murder, and we're going to make murder of the unlawful intentional killing of a human being, and your sentence will be something we'll think of before you come to trial to life. I mean, I know that's a frivolous kind of thing, but that's really what you're talking about. You're talking about having, you're considering, you're being asked to consider a legislative act that has unknown terms. It's as if you're being asked to help develop these terms, and that's one thing specifically prohibited by statute. So I suggest you either consider it as an improper rezoning, just straight up, there may be a roundabout, maybe other things, whatever is to be proposed, and that happens, but you have no right to consider that it would happen.
So I guess if it's brought up as an improper presentation, but yet they submit a proper prior to it being presented to the board.
They can do that.
Right, I'm just saying.
But
I'm just trying to
finish the
thought. It seems to me that it doesn't, I mean, short of going back and saying, great profit coming back and doing the same thing, that we would end up in a situation where they're likely to submit a proper. The board may or may not decide right now whether or not they want to proceed or defer without the proper, without knowing about the proper. But if it does come to the board, let's assume that it is passed, not proper, comes to the board, and they submit a proper at that point in time, then the planning commission would never have had an opportunity to even understand the proper.
That's right.
And so I don't know if that, I mean, it seems to me that if that's the position, then the planning commission would want to rehear this. Is essentially what you're saying.
That's right. And I think to put it the other way, it's not so much the planning commission wouldn't have an opportunity to do it, but the board wouldn't have the benefit of the planning commission's opinions on it.
No, and that's why I'm saying if it can't be done, then that's a problem. On the other hand, you can let one look at it and say that the applicant may decide that they don't want a property.
So. They might. But that's the problem. You don't, you're buying a pig in a poke. Mm-hmm. The commission is buying a pig in a poke. It doesn't know whether it's going to be conditional or not.
And the planning commission couldn't listen to the proffer and then say, well, we have no comment on it, we would recommend.
There is no proffer. No, there is no proffer. That's the point. If this proffer had been filed today in proper form, you know, you might have a problem with advertising and things like that, but at least you would have the text of what's actually being proposed as part of the application. Now you do not. So that if the applicant, you know, let's say the applicant, and I'm making this up entirely, and I'll probably make it up so it's sort of outrageous just for emphasis. The applicant says, we will build the roundabout within 5 years. You know, let's just say they say that. And then it turns out that doesn't fit with VDOT's plans, or it costs too much, or whatever. So by the time they come around to making a formal proffer, they decide it's too expensive, they can't do that.
I would suspect it's a proffer of that.
That's the point. I think we all have suspicions about what it might be, but we don't know what's being proposed. And you can't act on what you don't know. I mean, you're a member of the board. I know you value the commission's recommendation, and if they don't have a proper to consider, then you'll never know if you acted on it. You never know.
That's what I asked the question.
No, your formulation, I think, is exactly correct. As a practical matter, it seems to me the only logical thing to do would be to purpose.
Yeah, I think you're right. Help me out here. If we would hold a public hearing tonight, and then he came back next month, there wouldn't be another public hearing, would there?
I think it would happen.
Okay.
Because if you have a public hearing and defer action until next month,
okay. then there would be another public hearing?
And it was, it was proper at that time, you wouldn't have the same application in front of you.
So what I'm concerned about is, we would be considering something that's not our package. We would be considering something that was posted online for the public to see that's not what might be. So I don't know even how I could even make a judgment without having the information. You know, and it's supposed to be a public hearing, and the public don't even have the information.
I think your concerns are well taken.
Mr. Chairman, one other concern I have, though, is if we, I think this is a question for you, Mr. Van Dien. If we can, we can defer this now, we can defer it at the end of the public hearing, I guess. Let's say we had a lot, some of these folks may have come here to talk about this. I don't want to overly confuse that. Can we have a public hearing to get their comments? If we choose to defer it further, can the comments of these people be part of our consideration at a future point? Or would they have to come to another public hearing anyway?
That's up to your discretion. I always recommend against that. The reason being, it's not the same application.
Understood.
And it may well be that, you know, there may be something improper that, a citizen doesn't think is appropriate. You know, we're always considering that the properties would be things that the neighbors would like, or the members of the public would like, and that's entirely possible. But again, how does the citizen know whether it's going to be good for him or not, unless he knows what the application is? So if I were a citizen under these circumstances, I would want to make sure that I got a crack at whatever is ultimately proposed. And I always recommend that the citizen is here, even though it means that he has to come back. If he wants his sentiments considered by you, it makes more sense to have the entire matter before you rather than having him have to say, you know, I'll not know what the ultimate application is, and then either have to come back anyway or have his comments not represent what he actually thinks at the end of the day. Now, I think you should either consider it entirely without the property, or defer it and allow the applicant to submit properties and proper form, which would then have to be re-advertised.
I think that it needs to go back, if there's going to be a change completely, it needs to go back to the TRC, because VDOT needs to be able to consider the traffic situation and so forth like that. They're only talking about this roundabout. That's basically all that's presented to them. We got a level E service intersection here, so forth like that. And I just, in my opinion, not only would we do this beforehand, I would suggest that we defer it, because I just don't think we have, I think they need to get us the information. I think it needs to go back to the TRC before it actually comes back to us for a public hearing.
Could this happen? Could this be heard in the next year's meeting, beginning the second Wednesday?
On the Thursday.
Or Thursday, yeah.
It's the, excuse me, it's the second Thursday in June. I don't know what the date is right off the top of my head, but yeah, yes, it could be. If Mr. Shinn wants to get us the materials that we can forward to VDOT, we can place it back on the June TRC agenda.
Okay, and then it can still be heard next month.
It can be heard at the June regular planning commission meeting.
But it seems like the specific thing that the TRC would want to hear is, what is the proposal without a roundabout? Is really what we're asking for. Because there's no guarantees of a roundabout.
Yes, sir. That's my understanding.
What we're really asking for, I think that's what Mr. Dibbs asked.
Well, in the package it says that VDOT has said that they presented them for engineering study, but they have no idea that funds are not available this time, and they do not know when funds would be available.
So the applicant would want to present what the option is without an option.
Exactly.
So that, you know, we can consider it on that basis.
You know, we need to consider traffic and so forth like that, because it has been fatality with this intersection. I'd like to know, you know, about how it would be.
Staff is prepared to take it to GTRC back in to you at your regular meeting in June if the applicant consents to that schedule.
Assuming whatever the applicant wants to present is presented in time for staff to make further analysis of the time.
Exactly.
What does that understand?
Well, the matter of procedure, I don't think actually we'll need my permission to defer at once. I understand it's a 100-day window, right? So.
Well, that's correct.
Right.
You don't need the applicant's permission.
No, I was referring more to the TRC.
Oh, sorry.
Information ready for the TRC.
That's what I thought.
Okay, right. No, that's not a problem. We have it. It's right here, and it's ready to be presented to the public tonight. So, yeah, it's not a problem to deliver it.
I'll make a suggestion. We defer it under the conditions. If all the conditions are met, we will hear it at our next regular scheduled meeting. And all the conditions are met. And if I have a motion from anybody in the planning commission, that we defer it.
Do we need to defer it to a specific page?
Well, I think you're going to need to re-advertise it if there are problems. If there are not, then you wouldn't have to re-advertise. So my suggestion would be to go ahead
and the
chairman's suggestion, as I heard it, was conditioned on the applicant's getting in the information he wants the commission to consider in time to meet these deadlines for next month's meeting. And so with that in mind, I suggest you just defer to next month's meeting, assuming Mr. Schimpf thinks he can get everything in by the time.
June 24th.
That's no problem. The TRC's submittal deadline is the first of the month, so that would potentially be by Friday or next Monday. So we have all the information, so we can have it to the staff at that time.
And that'd be advertised.
Again, do I have a motion to defer?
Yes.
Mr. Gaines, make a motion to defer. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Zimmer, seconds. All in favor of deferring this? Say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. I apologize if anybody came for the public hearing tonight, but we, as you can see, we don't have all the information we need to make a sound judgment about this. So, I thank you. The next item on the agenda is DTA 1503 Savannah County. That's the zoning text amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is CTA 1503 and zoning text amendment related to flood ordinance. And this is a little different than a lot of what we do. We need to start with a motion to ratify previous actions with respect to this amendment. That would be you all doing the resolution for it to happen and for me to be working on preparing it with legal staff. So this is not the motion to approve or recommend approval or denial. This is simply to make official everything we've done up to now. And if Mr. Payne wants to jump in with a better explanation, I think that's all we're going to do.
If you'll allow me, I won't be able to speak. The point about this is there are only three ways you can amend zoning. One is by action of the Board of Supervisors, two is by your action, and third is by action of a landowner or his property. Obviously, this is a general application, so number three would apply. You've gone through the process, but you didn't specifically adopt this motion. And the motion by statute provides for, it provides that the commission initiates the motion, initiates the change, and states the public purpose for it. And what you're doing is, just because you got a little bit out of order, it's gone through the right process, so you're simply ratifying that action now to get it before the plan session.
Do I have a motion to ratify this item so we can proceed to the DTA 1503? The Seeker makes a motion. Mr. Zimmer, second.
Or just say it again?
It's part of what you're referring to, what's in the record. I don't think we need to read it. It's a big type, everybody can see it. Even I can see it.
Yes.
Okay, now we'll move on to the actual zoning text amendment to the zoning ordinance.
You need to vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Getting ahead of myself tonight here. All in favor say aye. Chair votes aye, 5-0.
Usually, you should sit down if you sit down. So, a little background. This is a requested amendment of the Urbana County Zoning Ordinance to provide compliance with the new federal and state regulations. The proposed amendment will prevent the loss of life and property, the creation of health and safety hazards, the disruption of commerce and governmental services, the extraordinary and unnecessary expenditure of public funds for flood protection and relief, and the impairment of the tax base by regulating uses, activities, and development which, alone or in combination with other existing or future uses, activities, and development, will cause unacceptable increases in flood heights, velocities, and frequencies. Restricting or prohibiting certain uses, activities, and development from locating within districts subject to flooding. Requiring all those uses, activities, and developments that do occur in flood-prone districts to be protected and or flood-proofed against flooding and flood damage. And protecting individuals from buying land and structures which are unsuited for intended purposes because of flood hazards. As you're aware, staff worked with our attorneys in order to get this correct and acceptable at the state and federal level. And so then what you see before you in the ordinance is that final document, and then this would be the motion to recommend approval or denial of the zoning text amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to comment on this. This is a little unusual in that I don't want to say you're rubber stamping this, but in effect you are, because this is a product of federal regulation. And the as you know, the federal flood prevention and protection program, whatever it was developed, I think, in the late 60s, early 70s, in response to some disasters like Camille and Agnes and things like that. And it initiated a major flood insurance program, but in order to be eligible for that insurance, properties have to be located in a locality that has a conforming flood protection rule. So, in effect, the federal government has told you what you need to do in order to have your citizens that may be subject, the property may be subject to flood, be protected by federal flood insurance. So, these amendments have been drafted specifically to accommodate those federal concerns and incidentally the state concerns as well. So that you really don't have a lot of discretion in this. If you want to keep the flood insurance program in effect, you basically need to approve this.
I understand we've been working with the state and federal people for quite a while, although the legal and it's all been. We discussed it at work session a little bit about it and stuff like that. So this was the final document that was approved by everyone.
That's correct. And obviously,
Okay, we'll open the public hearing at this time, and anyone from the public who wanted to come forward and speak about this, please come to the microphone and state your name and your address, please. We're about quiet tonight. See no one want to come forward? We'll end the public hearing at this time, and we'll have discussion, planning commission. I know we've just been going on quite a while, and I know we've talked about it at regular meeting, and then we set it off for a work session and brought it back now for the vote. So, anybody have any questions? Do I have a motion? I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer to approve the proposed ZPA that's included in that package and also on the screen before us. We have a second by Mr. Gaines. All in favor say aye. Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay. That ends our public hearings for tonight, and we will go on, and we have two site development plans tonight. The first one is SDP 1505 Ray Brothers.
Sir, Mr. Chairman, Planning Commission, this is one of two major site plans on your agenda tonight. This is STP 1505. The applicant is Holman Elder Self Storage. It's an existing facility on Meadowland Drive. Design calls for the community planning area. It's a 10.25 acre site, tax map 5, section 7, parcel 9B. And it is zone B1, which allow self-storage facilities by right. It was rezoned to I-1 back in 1975 and then back from I-1 to B-1 in 1999, and it was a prior site plan also in 99. This is the zoning map. Property is here. Aerial photograph shows there's 8 existing self-storage facilities and an office. The proposed building would be beside, right here beside this building. This is the applicant's sketch plan, and shows the new proposed building, which is here. I mean, it's 9,500 square feet, climate control facility. Again, there's access off of Federal Living Drive, which is extends off of Route 250. We got commented that the existing gravel entrance is adequate to support the proposed building, and the site has adequate parking. There's one office there that requires 5 spaces, and they have 5 spaces. Sketch plan appears to meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance. If this is approved, then they need to submit a final site development plan. With that, staff is recommending approval of SDP 1505. Suggest a motion on the screen. I'm not sure if the applicant is here tonight.
I am. Okay.
So, any questions for staff? Be happy to answer those.
Would the applicant like to make any comments?
Sure. Good evening, my name is Jack Ray. I reside at 4325 Silver Lane in Charlottesville, and I'm co-owner of this facility. Excuse me. The name of the facility is Iron Crossroads Self-Storage, and it's located on Beverly Drive 250. And the original site plan, as you saw, was approved in 99. And I want to be clear with what's required for us for this next final site plan, because all we're doing is erecting a building on an existing parking lot. So I think it passed through the departments of erosion. I'm not sure about that, but we're disturbing the parking lot only. And I just want to be clear of what's required. Do I need to get another engineered site plan, or can this be administratively approved? Or I'm not clear on what's required of me.
It is administratively approved. The square footage triggered the necessity of a major site plan as prescribed in our ordinance, and that's why it's a planning commission. It does meet all the requirements of the ordinance, but the process is sketch and then final, and staff reviews the final plan administratively. So I don't think you need a high level of engineering for this building. Mr. Black has stated that he doesn't need an ENS permit. Is that correct? Right. So again, the necessity or the square footage of the building triggered the category of major site plan. And as far as staff is concerned, if he meets the checklist of the items that are required on a final major site plan, then I'm not sure we're terribly concerned with the high level of degree of engineering for this site.
And I think we understand, because we did another item like this not too long ago, and we found there across Virginia and across the country, climate control storage is now becoming a big thing and is needed by most of your storage places. So we understand why you're here and what the purpose is.
And staff will work with Mr. Ray on the development plans, that he is aware, he knows what is expected to go ahead and get it administratively approved, so he can get started and start building his new building.
Anybody have any questions? Anyone? Do I have a motion to accept the site development plan with the subject to the administrative approval?
I move to recommend approval of SDP 1505, a sketch site plan to construct a 9,500 square foot pump storage facility with respect to 10.25 acres, tax map 5, section 7, parcel 9B, subject to the conditions listed in the staff report.
I have a motion by Mrs. Seeger. Do I have a second? Mr. Zimmer, second. So I have a motion by Mrs. Seeger. Second by Mr. Zimmer. All in favor, say aye.
Mr. Chairman, I'm abstaining because I have a planning for that service. That's what we do.
And I don't think you really have to abstain on that, but
Mr. I don't think that's technically a conflict of interest, but I think if Mr. Johnson doesn't feel comfortable voting, he certainly doesn't want to abstain.
The chair votes aye, so we have 4-0-1 with the one abstaining. It is approved. The next item is SDP 1506, LOA, New Golf Clubhouse.
Sir, Mr. Chairman of the Commission, this is the second of two major site plans tonight. It's SDP 1506. Applicants Lee Monticello Owners Association. They are proposing sketch plan approval to construct a new golf clubhouse. Sketch plan shows 9,670 square feet and a 5,600 square foot golf cart barn and a 1,425 square foot pavilion. It's located at the main gate of Lee Monticello development, and it's within the Wabanac Community Planning Area. Portion of this proposed development would be on 2.837 acres
It's tax map ETA, section 4, 224A, zone R4. This is the zoning map, shows the proposed location is within this area. And the aerial photograph shows existing parking, access easement here off of Bunker Boulevard, I believe it's Bunker Boulevard. And there's an existing two-story frame building, I'm not sure what the association refers to that building as. It's a clubhouse or what the proper word for it is. And the existing car barn is here, maintain storage of the golf carts. A few photographs, this shows the cart barn, see cart barn. And this is the two-story facility that I was referring to earlier on the applicant sketch plan. And that is, brings us into the next slide, which is the proposed development. The 9,670 square foot building is here. The cart barn would be here, and then the pavilion is 1,425 square feet would be in this rectangle here. So again, this access via an existing entrance off of Bunker Boulevard, which is the main gate of the lake. Of course, those streets are maintained by VDOT within the lake, so VDOT did comment that will have a negative impact on the VDOT road system. The site has adequate parking and traveling areas accommodating the new facilities. They are proposing 138 spaces, which is precisely 40% over the requirement, so they don't need a waiver from the commission. Again, the sketch appears to be in compliance with the ordinance, and they're required, the same with the last plan, requires the final site plan for you. Who the engineers here this evening, and staff, be happy to answer any questions you have.
Can I ask a question?
Wasn't clear from the sketch what's going to happen to the existing space with us.
I don't know if this is very clarified. I believe they're going to be demolished.
Lot of money over there, so I don't know that for a time.
So why ask?
Well, I would think if it was disapproved, it would probably place a significant challenge for those who are in favor of it, so.
Actually, since it's a site plan, it's not, I don't think we can really disapprove it because it's handled ministerially, and as long as they meet the criteria, you allow that, I mean, and you'll approve it with our recommendation.
Yes, ma'am, that's correct. We recommend approval on a site plan if it's complete and it meets the requirements that this one did. And the disclosure is the process, the sketch, and the final administrative plan. And there's a rather lengthy checklist of landscaping, lighting, much more items that are required on the final site plan. And coincidentally, she clarified, Ms. Gary clarified it earlier. I'm sorry. I believe this is going to be phased, so the approval is for the sketch, and then they can come back in phases, phase one, phase two. Same thing you do with Eagle Baptist Church. So I show, the sketch shows multiple buildings, and then they can come back with the final stages or phases.
Okay, do we have any other questions, discussions, or do I have a motion? Mr. Gaines makes a motion.
I move to approve the recommended approval of SDP 1506, a sketch of a site plan to construct a 9,670 square foot golf clubhouse, a 5,600 square foot cart barn, and a 1,425 square foot pavilion with respect to 2.837 acres of tax map 18A, section 4, parcel 224A, subject to the conditions listed in the staff report.
Do I have a second? Have a motion by Mr. Gaines. I have a second by Mrs. Eager. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 5-0. We have no subdivisions, and as far as I know, no unfinished business. Does anybody have any unfinished business that we need to discuss? Is there any other new business? Now, this will be our final public comment. The second of the two that we have each week, limited to 3 minutes. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak on anything to do with the county, may come forward at this time. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll end the second public comment section. And if no one on the commission is objecting to that, we will adjourn. And after 8:14.
There you go.
Thank you.